Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We got a praise or two out there somewhere.
Yep. Hallelujah. Wake up this morning feeling good in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
John has praise.
I have a praise because it is the final countdown to
Family Camp.
Yay! I'm going to be on vacation this year.
Woohoo!
Family Camp going up. Yes, Karen.
Speaking of which, I praise the Lord that I get to go. I'll leave on my birthday.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
I have a praise.
Yep, Francis.
I just came back from Nigeria. I went search out my son, Victor. I saw him face to face. Stayed with him 2 days. It was a short visit.
Amen.
And unfortunately, he's in the enemy territory, behind enemy line. I keep telling you. He said, because of his profession, he's in the medical field, medical doctor.
Yeah.
They recruited them, World Health Organization, to treat those people there, that they respect them.
Yeah.
They gave them housing, security, and all that. But still, I'm not really comfortable.
Yeah.
So he promised he's going to just leave that place and hopefully come here.
Hopefully.
But he's in good health, he's doing well, he's unafraid. So he reminds me of David, the king, when he was with the Philistine, went to live.
He's living with the Philistine.
David, in the Bible, I think he went there.
Comparing it to David.
He was for a little while.
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
Remember, oh God, for
amen. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I keep praying for him.
Yeah. Good God.
Oh, Bubba. Morning, Bubba.
Who you got there?
That's my dog.
How you been?
This is his spot. He'll feel all out of place. Sam?
In 2 months, I'll be 21.
I'm excited.
I figured you'd about to turn 16. Although that will really come in handy later, by the way. Bubba, what's your prayer?
I pray for my dog.
Amen. Amen.
I knew that. If he's covering my grandkids for sure, he might be covering some too.
Amen.
We're
thrilled.
Yeah.
They just move. I mean, they just.
Devil's mad though. Boy, it's been growing and he's been saved. Exactly. We got my baptism this morning. That's the praise right there for you. And so he's pretty upset. Like we care, but you know, we like our sentiment, frankly. Just don't particularly like some of the stuff he stirs up after we get mad, but that's okay. We can take it. We just jump behind Jesus and hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
What's the secret to Christian successful Christian living? You jump behind Jesus and stay put.
That's right.
Hold on for dear life. You're there. Amen. Who else has praise? Yes, Gilbert.
I'll be leaving for Chicago about a week at the end of this month.
Yeah, for about a week?
Yeah.
That's a short one, so we're glad for that. Keith?
I started working at Amazon, but they started my schedule. I'm glad I can make it and still.
Oh, amen. Yeah, you got to be careful. Boy, the devil will. He'll
really work schedules, jobs,
and employment. One of his favorite play toys with us. He can sure use it against us. Who else? Anybody? Yes, sir, Joshua. And Christine. I see Christine's little bitty hand sticking it back there.
Yesterday, I was making Kaylin some shirts, and I had my iron sitting up trying to cool down. And Baby Lane found it. And he had the iron fall in his hand. And so he got burned pretty bad, but luckily, it wasn't bad enough that he had to go to the emergency room or, you know, third-degree burns and skin graft or something like that. So, I'm very thankful.
Just learned one of those hard lessons, huh?
You learned a lesson.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
All that is hard lessons.
Yeah, we know hard lessons. We do. Anybody else? Joshua.
I talked to a buddy of mine about the Lord, and the other day he came over, and he was actually excited to hear more about it.
Amen.
Yeah, he brought his girlfriend or whatever, and we kind of talked about it. Afterwards, he said, the next day he told me, he said, I'm glad you brought that up. I was kind of hoping you'd say something. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, you know, what you just said was really cool. Here we are, we're thinking, boy, I don't know if I should say something or not. Am I going to offend them? Am I going to upset them? And they're sitting there hoping you'll say something.
Exactly.
Isn't that an eye-opener?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Just always assume that, by the way.
Yeah.
And if you're wrong, well, you're just wrong. So they'll get over it. But,
I mean, you come around, I always kind of duck the cover.
Yeah, and sometimes it takes a while. 25 years. Can you imagine talking to somebody about the Lord for 25 years before they respond and listen? Well, that's just God's timing, you know? It just is. But praise the Lord for it. Well, I have to praise the Lord for yesterday. Once a year, on somewhere around the opening day of snapper season, which was Saturday, when we've had a boat or when we don't, we've gone with a charter that Nathan had worked out with one of the guys. Try to get all my sons and my grandkids together that are of an age able to do it and fish offshore. And we've been doing that for a few years now. And yesterday we had all but one. And Nathan is still in Florida, so he missed it. But he was on the phone kind of checking in back when we had a signal. But we had a tremendous family day. My oldest grandson, relationship been a little, I didn't realize it, but it's kind of been strained, but the Lord cured that, and just had an awesome day, and caught Mary a boatload of fish.
Good.
I mean, a bunch of fish, and probably more than we can use, so Charles may bring some up later. We'll see what he does. I'm sure he's got that worked out yet, but we had a great day. I call it a praise, because it was basically for someone else. It cost us a lot of tired time and a whole lot of gas, but there were four Asian fellas, nice guys, seemed like. I couldn't communicate as good as I wanted to. Just as we passed them coming in, their boat died, and we saw it and stopped and turned around and checked on them, and sure enough, they were dead in the water with no way to get that engine started again. It was done. You know, we could have called the Coast Guard and left them there and all that, but we didn't think that's the right thing to do, so we towed them in. It cost us about another 3 hours and about another 150 gallons of gas, but we towed them in. They had no idea what it takes to do that, but I was towed in once out there, and it wouldn't have mattered, but you got to do the right thing, and so... The wonderful thing about it was everybody on the boat was in absolute agreement as to what we ought to do. And that said I didn't, there were some things they actually listened to growing up. So it was a great day. Tired as all get out, but it's a good tired. A lot of work to get before you go, a lot of work when you go, and a whole lot of work when you get back. There's still more to do. Fix everything and clean everything from it, but we'll get there. We'll get all that. And that's pretty big praise for me. Michael?
Well, my praise just kind of happened just now. When I did a little background, when I first got saved, when I was reading the Bible, I started getting migraines. I never had migraines before. And one day I just prayed to the Lord. I said, Satan, you're not going to do this. Be gone. And my brain was gone. Well, this morning I woke up with a migraine. And I forgot to take my medicine, and just now my migraine is gone.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? All right, we are in Proverbs 11, and we're getting down to some really interesting stuff. Financial things, passion, no less. Sort of, so to speak. We'll see how it goes here. But we finished it down to verse number 19. And so we're going to start out with 20. We won't do much of a review because I want to kind of get into some of this stuff today. But verse number 20 says, they that are of a froward heart what's a froward heart? Well, not everybody in here knows what a froward heart is. What's a froward heart? That's a word you don't use much every day. It's not forward, you know. It's you could switch letters around and get there, but go ahead, Francis.
Deceitful person.
I think the best definition for it is ends to go astray. It speaks of a direction, like forward, only it's froward. It's kind of like the opposite of forward. It's for and fro, so it basically tends to go astray. And all of our hearts, by the way, have that tendency. What did Jeremiah say about our heart?
Desperately wicked.
Desperately wicked.
Deceitful and
deceitful. Who can know it? If you think you know your own heart, you've probably been deceived. You've probably been fooled. He says that they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Abomination is a strong word. It's not just the Lord doesn't like it much, you know. It means he doesn't like it a lot. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. I have a story to go with this verse today. It's from the truck ride down to Freeport to launch the boat. My son Caleb, he's number two, and he's born in 79, so that makes him older than some of you, but not near as old as many of you. Caleb lives up in Tomball and works up there, so I don't get to see him as much as I'd like, but on the family fishing day, he tries to much make that a priority and did. But he's telling me about his job up there. He's been working at a hydraulics place for 8 years now. And we raised our kids up in church and taught them the Word of God and then turned them loose and they did a lot of stupid stuff. But not everything they did was stupid, okay? Sometimes it did pay off. He was talking about the guy that brought him in to the company up there. And thought that since he brought him in, that he would be kind of his helper guy to do whatever he wanted to do in management. And they were taking parts from pump. It's a big pump place. I mean, they build pumps and rebuild pumps that go on the bottom of ships. And it's a big deal, operation type thing. And he's come along to be the premier tech in that whole operation now. And his job is pretty well secure as long as he ever wants it. But they got two different managers that came along that operated that company, tried to get him to replace parts with not new parts and things. Just some shady stuff because they were getting commissions on new sales. And so they would let the old customers go. And Caleb told the guy from the get-go, he said, I'm not having any part of that.
Good.
And so he was looked over for a few things, and he had been told by someone who the manager had talked to that he was next in line to be laid off, you know. But he said that I just made myself so indispensable that they probably couldn't fire me very easily. He just learned everything there was to learn about the job, became the best they had, and is. Which is another thing that we taught him growing up. Not only was he upright in his dealings, he is there, and every one of those other guys is long gone. And the people that own the company came over from Scotland, the owners, and now he is their personal go-to back-and-forth guy as to how to do that. It's exactly what God said right here. Exactly. I mean, he says, they that are froward heart are abomination to the Lord. But they that are upright in their way are his delight. And so it's just bless my heart to see that kind of attitude, you know, coming from my kids. Even though they're not kids anymore. They're a long way from being kids now. Yeah, they're always kids. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. This verse is talking about your kids. It's not just talking about you. The seed, who are the seed of the righteous? They're the children of God's people. That's who we're talking about. Talking about little Caleb and Lista and your son, Gilbert. Even though he's not faithful in church right now. But the Lord is delivering him out of some things that he probably doesn't even realize because of you. The Lord blesses our children and protects our children because of us who are the children of God. And we don't get to see all of that. But every once in a while, you'll see it just plain as day. And there for no other reason than God stepping in and intervening does something work out for the kids that they didn't do anything to deserve it. But just because God loves you, and He has great plans for your kids too, He will step in and help. Yes, go with
it. The Lord is working very much in what you're saying. My son has become a millionaire. He doesn't recognize what he is. But he's really, the sermon you gave last week, I'm sure he's at home.
That'll be hard to handle, actually. The Lord's in the program. And He is. He's there because of you. It's not just what God does for you. God has mercy and compassion and deliverance and blessing for those that are yours, regardless of where they are with the Lord at any given point in time. It's just the way He is. Yes, Michael.
What does it mean to go in from Him? Is that the...
I'll tell you what that means. It means that the pro-abortion movement can riot and they can join with thousands of them, get together and stand and put up their signs, but it's not going to affect what God's going to do one bit. Though hand joining, they can unite all they want. The gay rallies can do all they want. They can unite all they want, but it's not going to change what God's going to do. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Well, we'll just gang up. There'll just be so many of us that nobody can touch us. Nobody can tell us what to do. Well, I got news for you. That's not how it works. Yes, Jen.
My name is Jennifer. Oh, and
Amen. You can be proud of that. Your kids didn't get that just out there in the world. They got it from you.
You bet he knew it wasn't right, but he couldn't say anything to the guy.
Well, sometimes you can't.
But he said, now he does it right.
Yeah. Amen. Michael?
So what you use a rather extreme example, but in essence what you're really saying is just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean.
That's it. Yeah, well, yeah. It's because it wouldn't matter if everybody's doing it. The wicked's still going to be punished. You know, there's a judgment day. It's coming. And it's not just later, by the way. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we're not just talking about maybe someday. We're talking about here in this world as well. Okay, the next one, ladies. I'll let you comment on this first.
I'm gentlemen.
Anybody wearing gold jewelry today? Looks like Nona's got some gold on her ears and on her neck. Yeah, you do. Let's see. Okay, ladies. Gold jewelry. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Now, can you think of, you think in pictures, right? Back on a farm, when I was growing up, we raised hogs. Pork chops make it pretty good. I had a pet pig. One, we had a Salamone. What is its name? Don't ask me where it came from. I have no idea, but it had been laid on, and kind of messed up its back a little bit when it was a little piglet. And I bottle fed it and raised it. And then we ate it. So that was... anyway, that was a little tough. But pictures, a whole lot like people. They're smart as they can get. Too smart for their own good. But when you got a hog, you know, a little wanderlust, and hogs think, by the way. They don't just operate on instinct like most animals. Hogs actually look at the situation, figure it out. And if you've been around them very much, you'll learn that it's not just instinct with hogs. Matter of fact, hunting wild hogs, after a little while, you'll realize they're the smartest critter in the forest, and that includes you. They will outsmart you. They are good at what they do. They, you know, their smell and all that's, you know, very, very high level. But what they'll do, you got to keep them in, and they're impossible to keep in if they want out. They will go through whatever you put up there, and how they're going to do it. They will take that snout, and it'll get under the bottom wire, and it'll rip that stuff up until they can crawl out. Many is the axis deer and the fallow deer and all kinds of exotic animals have been turned out of the high fence compounds because the wild hogs just let them out the bottom. They will go through there and rip the bottom of the fence up, and then they'll just walk in and out, and they'll go right through it. So what do you do to keep the hogs in? No, you can't feed them enough if they want out. There is a little tool that you buy at the feed and grain store called a hog ringer. It's a little tool, a little pair of pliers. It's got these little staple things that when you push the pliers down, they come together in the middle. And so what you do, you got a hog that wants out. You take those hog ringers and you put about a row of five or six across the end of that snout, make it nice and sore. And they'll stop that fence rooting, because whenever they go under there and they're trying to rip that wire up, those rings get caught on that wire, and it hurts like the devil, and they go back where they came from like they're supposed to. That's what this verse reminds me of. A jewel of gold. Now, we think of a jewel as like a faceted stone or something, but that's not what a jewel of gold is. A jewel of gold is what Noah's wearing there. They're called earrings. Well, there's other kinds of rings. There's also nose rings. We did not invent putting rings in hogs' noses, by the way. It's been around a long time. But, you know, if you walked out to the barnyard and you saw an old boar out there with rings in his nose, and there was this beautiful gold ring in his nose, you might think that would be a little bit out of place. I think that's kind of the intent of this verse. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. You ever meet somebody new, or didn't know, and maybe you got in a social situation with them, probably on Facebook a lot. I'm not on Facebook, but all of a sudden you meet this guy, you'll meet a really pretty lady, and then you find out she's got a mouth on her like a sailor. That beauty diminishes real fast. This is what God's talking about. You know, not everybody is blessed with beauty, outward beauty. That's what he's talking about here. But ladies, if you don't have some inward beauty to go with it, guess what you're going to be like? I didn't write that. Your creator wrote that. So as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, what an illustration. I mean, God's the best illustrator there's ever been. I mean, the picture that you get from this is, it's actually laughable, but when you apply it where the Lord's applying it, it's pretty serious.
But I don't have a
gold
ring in my nose.
Yeah, well, that's true. So ladies, what would you consider a woman of discretion? Now, we're talking about ladies here, so I'm giving ladies first shot. What are we talking about? It says a fair woman which is without discretion. So what's a woman like that's with or has discretion?
Carries herself carries herself well, who has morals, dignity,
modesty, and makes good decisions.
Carries herself well, modesty.
Not a gossip.
Not a gossip. Makes, yeah, good woman. Makes the decisions of a godly woman. And there's a lot to that. It's one foul word can ruin your reputation. I mean, it can. And I know it's not fair for women to be judged so much differently oftentimes than men. And I know that's not fair. But society is never fair. The world's never going to be fair. God never promised to be fair. He promised to be just, but justice and fairness are not the same thing. So, take this to heart. Consider your words. Make them sweet, because later you might have to eat them, right? That's what they told me. Make your words sweet, because you may have to eat them later. So, there you go. All right. I can tell by your expressions that you've had enough of this verse. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Is there ever a time that you wish or desire, I just wish he had just died or something? The desire of the righteous is only good. The desire for them is, I wish they'd get saved. And not even because I wanted them to go to heaven that's that bad. I wanted God to do in their heart what he did in mine. And the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to expect the wicked to wrath, but that's actually true. We do expect that. But it is what they can only expect is wrath. Yeah, you better. Why do you think God pray for kings and those that are in authority, senators, representatives, executive branch people, and such? They are in a position. If they don't come to know the Lord, the level of the wrath of God that's going out on some of these people is something that you wouldn't wish from anybody. It's a distaste in my mouth when I see God's people who have all of God's promises just do what the sign said on the church at Alta Vista over in Pasadena. I went by there the other day, and it says, if at first you don't succeed, try doing like God told you the first time. And I watch Christian people. You. And new babies, Christians, coming through here all the time, getting the same results as you got before. And just not being able to grasp how real God's promises are. What's it mean? It's talking about learning to trust Him. When God says something about financial things, He means exactly what He says. And He will do exactly what He says. And you can't try it. You have to become what He told you to be. It's like, I tried tithing.
Not long enough.
No, No. You can't try tithing.
You do tithe.
You can either tithe or not tithe, but you can't try it.
No, you just do it.
Because you're operating in the presence of the foreknowledge of God. You say, I tried tithing and it didn't work, so I quit. Well, when you tried tithing, God already knew the day you were going to quit. So you weren't really tithing at all. You weren't really trusting God at all. You were just hoping for some kind of reproof or reprise from the mess you're in. No, if you're going to tithe, you're either going to tithe or not. And you're not going to do it for the money. You're not going to do it for the return. You're going to do it because God told you to. And the Bible says do it, and it's right, so that's what we do, period. Real simple. You do that, and God's going to, He's going to bless you with the promises. He's put a little bit of time.
Okay.
And so you say, I've done it for 3 months now. So, how long did you not tithe? I mean, think about it. Let me tell you something. You do it from the heart, the right way for the right reason, you're not going to have to work for very long to see God do things that you can't explain. And I mean, you will not be able to explain how that the 90% went twice as far as the 100% ever did. And it does. God says, prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. What do you do when that happens? You have a garage sale. Or you give a whole bunch of stuff away. Because that's what happens when you do what God said. But he says the desire of the righteous is only good. Well, my desire for you is good. And it's not because I want your money. I don't need your money. God doesn't need your money. The church doesn't need your money. God's going to provide for me. He's going to provide for the church. And he doesn't have to worry about providing for himself, obviously. But what's he need your money for? He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And you ain't giving God your heart without sharing your treasure along with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So let's just get this right and quit fooling around with this all this foolishness and not trusting God. And get our finances in order and do what God said. You will never, ever, 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 ever be sorry you did. Never. Never. And we got stories. I mean, we got evidence. We got bank accounts. Promises that here's what God said. Look, here's what he did. And you know what? You know what you find out? You find out that the promise was wonderful, but what he did was exceeding abundant above all that I could ask or think.
Right.
Amen.
That's our God for you. And in verse 24, here's what he said: there is that scattereth, yet increaseth. I love being that guy. Well, you're supposed to be on a bush. I'm not very good with that.
Don't preach not to me on
I'm
budget.
I'm not preaching the wrong for this. But I'm just telling you, I don't like being on a budget.
Nobody likes being on a budget.
And I've never been able to somehow or another be on a budget. But I'll tell you what, I have been faithful in my tithing and giving for many, many, many years. Ever since I got saved. And I have scattered money. I've been doing it for years. And because God's blessing is bigger than my scattering, I'm still ahead. That's what he's talking about. There is that scattereth, yeah, increaseth.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, we got it.
And I'm not recommending you be off your budget.
I'm not.
But I will tell you, I don't even like keeping score alone. But if you don't want to be on a budget and you hate being on a budget, you had better be liberal with what you do with God's principles. Liberal is not a word that Christians are taught to embrace very often.
Where does this go?
Well, let me just get down to it. It's in the next verse. Let's go. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, which one of those people do you want to be? You get to choose. You really do. God did. Hey, pick one. Whichever one you be, that's what you're going to get. Pick one. But it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made. I don't want to get fat. I tell you, getting fat in the context of this scripture, I think you do want to get fat. Amen. Being fat when there was barely enough food to eat on a normal day, you know, that was normal life, was a life being ultimately blessed of God in terms of using this Bible. And the liberal soul shall be made fat. What's it talking about? What is a liberal soul? What is it?
I put him up there for that.
For other people's benefit.
Yeah.
It's the poor, it's the needy.
Yeah.
Just because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Even if you're off budget, and it's going to cause you to be a little tight.
In that boat yesterday. Seemed like nice fellas, but the boat they had.
The guy went back to cooler, and
we were going to try to lighten things, and so he, I can't believe he did this. He must have thought it was illegal or something. I don't know what it, but he was going to throw out their fish and try to lighten the boat so we could pull the thing. And I saw him back there on the end of the line, and he took this mahi-mahi out about that long, and he threw it overboard, and I said, "What are you doing? Stop! What are you doing?" I said, "That won't make a difference. Don't waste those fish." Anyway, and I told him, I said, "That fish is worth more than your boat. Don't throw the fish."
Uh-oh. Oh, you didn't say that.
I did, actually. Well, he didn't speak very good English, so I don't think he got the full level of the translation. But he got the message. He didn't throw any more fish overboard. Go ahead, here.
He used to say, "You can talk about my wife and my car, but don't talk about my book."
Don't talk about my book. Well, it was, they had just bought it. It was, Randy, you know what a used boat can be. And,
oh, yeah.
And it was like an O2, and it was, you know, but it was, they were dead in the water 25 miles offshore, and that is no good place to be. I knew what it was going to take to pull them in. I've been there, done that, and I'm looking at the gallons per hour meter on my screen as I'm pulling them in, and I'm burning 40 to 45 gallons of fuel per hour. And it took about two and a half hours to get in. You know, there's no way in the world they had any idea of what it cost me to pull them in. You know, it just didn't matter. I didn't ask them for any money. I didn't ask them for anything. I just threw them the rope and said, "Have a great day, guys." But this is what this is exactly what this verse is talking about. The liberal soul shall be made better. The Bible says that when a man gives to the poor, what's he doing?
He is lending
to the Lord. And what's it say?
And I will repay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, if you like having more money than money, you'll really come to appreciate purchase of scripture like that.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. Now, the liberal soul should be made fat. Yeah. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
Yeah.
I know this is what that's talking about, watering your garden.
It's talking about being fat.
It's talking about being a liberal. No, it's not really, but you see these things, but
the depth to which God is teaching us with these illustrations is incredible. He is telling us things in these half a dozen verses of Scripture that will absolutely transform your entire financial life. Absolutely transform it. Yes, Mike?
That was actually the final lesson in the financial piece is why should we tithe? And he went through all these different scenarios. Well, let's see. Does God need the money? Does the church need the money?
Yeah.
And he brought it around to, well, you know, what did God do for us? Well, God gave.
Yeah.
God gave his son. God gave this. And so, you know, he put it in a little different perspective and, you know, talked about, you know, the stewardship, that we're just managing these things. Nothing is ours and all that kind of thing. But there was a really interesting statistic he came up. He said somewhere between 3% and 4% of evangelical Christians tithe.
Yeah.
And the argument is, do I tithe on the gross or do I tithe on the net? And he pauses and he says, "You're not doing it anyway. What's the difference? Just tithe." But I thought that put it in a different light. That's why we tithe, because if we're made in God's image, what does God do? God gives. God gives us life. God gives us grace. God gives us what. That's why we tithe, because we give.
Amen. The Apostle Paul was not addressing this in this particular context, but it applies exactly. He said, what do you have that you did not receive?
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
I mean, and if you received it, why do you glory as if you didn't? Like it was yours, you know, you were like born with it. It was a part of you. Even that you received. The fair woman with the gold ring in her nose. I mean, that's not what that says, by the way. But where did she get that fair beauty? It's not like you went out and created it. Although people spend a lot of money trying to do that. But anyway, these principles. What do you have you didn't receive? Where did you get it? Well, I got it from the boss. I got it from working. I got it from... No, where did you get it? Okay, you got it from working. Where did you get the strength and the intelligence to work?
Exactly.
Where'd you get that? You know, there's nothing that you have, let's preface it by saying that's good, that you didn't get from who? God. God gave you the ability to tithe. You know me, I don't teach anything with question marks on when it comes to money. I teach without any reservation whatever that your tithe is not just 10%, it is the first 10%. It's honor. It's not about money. It's about honor, and it's always about honor. It's never going to be about anything but honor. It's the first 10%. And just be sensible. If it's God's, not yours, is that true? The tithe is double God's. I mean, it's all His anyway, but it's doubly so. And you handle that first. Where is an issue of whether you can tithe? You got 90% left. You got to go see what you can do with it. I'll take God and 90 versus 100 of anything. Anytime. You say, well, but the bills are due and I don't have the money. You're right. You don't have the money. It's God's money, not your money. You were right about that. You know how I am. I would really love to see you have all the blessings of God in your life. And these are some wonderful blessings. He that watereth shall be watered himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. That's a little bit more complicated than we've got time left to get into. Sometimes people use what they have and their position in life to manipulate other people and to force them into doing whatever it is they want them to do. There's some times that we've stood in line to get gasoline. Tyler, you don't remember that probably, but we did. We've done that. And we've not felt real kindly toward people that withheld it when we knew they had it and wouldn't sell it.